Age has its benefits, but cramming dozens of candles on a birthday cake isn't one of them. Hi, I'm Rob West. You probably remember looking forward to your birthday when you were a kid. As we get older, birthdays don't seem to hold the same charm. Today, we'll look at some birthdays that are more important than others, financially speaking. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Whether you prefer to ignore your birthday or you still celebrate with gusto every year, there are a few birthdays we all need to recognize. I'm referring to the birthdays with financial implications. Here's our list, and no need to take notes. You can check it out later at faithfi.com. First is day one. Newborns can be signed up for Social Security right out of the gate, so to speak. Next, childhood. Just enjoy it. When you turn 15, you can get a learner's permit and mom and dad's insurance rates go through the roof. Parents, don't just take this sitting down unless you're sitting down in front of your computer doing research. Always shop around for the best auto coverage. Age 18, legally adult. You can register to vote, sign up in the military, and make medical choices for yourself. If you're a parent with one of these adult but not really grown-up individuals in your house, this would be a good time to sit down and talk about grown-up things like credit cards, insurance, and even investing. At age 19, parents or guardians can no longer claim you as a dependent for tax purposes. College students can put this off until age 24. There's one good reason for staying in school. Age 21, if you're self-employed at age 21, good for you. You can start investing in a SEP IRA. Age 24, the apron strings and the purse strings get cut all at once when you turn 24. If you've been in college and filing as a dependent on your parents' tax return, prepare to file on your own when you turn 24, unless you're already earning enough income to file separately. Starting at age 26, you can no longer be on your parents' or guardian's health insurance. There's a gap in the milestone birthdays here to give you time to get your career and family underway, build for the future, and follow God's leading into adulthood. The next key financial birthday is age 50. This is when you can start putting extra money in your retirement plans. This is Uncle Sam's way of letting you catch up in saving for retirement. Age 50 is also the time when people start making annoying jokes about getting old. Maybe it's time to pay for a gym membership as well. Now, age 55, take advantage of the senior discount at the local all-you-can-eat buffet. Really, though, senior discounts can save you a lot of money even if you don't feel that old. Then when you turn 59 and a half, you can take money out of your tax-advantaged retirement plans without any penalty. Try not to do it if you can. At age 60, widows and widowers can receive the full amount of their deceased spouse's benefits from Social Security. When you turn 62, you're eligible to receive Social Security income. If you wait to take Social Security benefits, you'll increase your monthly check. If you need help with all of this, visit us at faithfi.com and click on Find a CKA. Next milestone birthday is age 65. Time to enroll in Medicare. Open enrollment starts 3 months before your 65th birthday and lasts 7 months. Don't miss the deadline. Age 66 or 67, depending on when you were born, your full retirement age is either 66 or 67. You are eligible to receive 100% of your Social Security benefits. Delay signing up and you could earn up to 8% more a year. According to AARP, wage earners who reach full retirement age at 67 but delay claiming benefits until 70 will get an extra 24% tacked onto their monthly payment. The delayed retirement credits stop at age 70. Now, age 72 or 73, RMDs begin. Required minimum distributions are minimum amounts you have to withdraw from your retirement plan accounts each year. Age 73 and above, studies show the older we are, the more complicated retirement gets, both financially and personally. You'll need to address things like housing, driving challenges, caregiving needs, and staying healthy and fulfilled. No matter what birthday you're celebrating this year, we hope you will make your relationship with God a priority. Psalm 71:18 says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When you look at images of places devastated by war, you can feel helpless. We are so far away from these individuals. What can we possibly do? One option is certainly prayer, and we should pray for those affected by the Israel-Hamas war. But there just might be an opportunity for you to minister to people closer to home. You may know people with family who live in Israel, maybe a Jewish coworker who is heartbroken. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that God comforts us so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Use this as an opportunity to comfort those who are brokenhearted. When we do this, we're sharing the comfort that Christ gave us. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along today, and we're looking forward to taking your calls and questions. That's right. The rest of the show is yours. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd like to tackle your financial questions, whether you're thinking about your spending plan, getting squeezed from all sides, and how do you navigate that? Maybe it's your credit score, paying down debt, or giving wisely, or perhaps how to navigate your long-term investments. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. We'll look at it through a biblical lens, help you make a wise decision. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we're ready to dive in. Our team is standing by. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Tennessee. Tom, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for your program, by the way. A lot of great information. We've been listening to your program for a while. Here's my question. I'm 66 years old, and I've got a couple of annuities that are going to be maturing next week. They're both IRA. One's a traditional, one's a Roth. But and I've checked rates for both annuities and the banks, and they're comparable at this point. What I'm curious about is, do you have a recommendation of investing in an insurance product versus like a bank CD? If I tie the money up in an annuity, I'm looking at maybe 3 to 5 years. The rates are going to be about the same whether I go with the bank or the annuity. And one of my concerns, Rob, is the safety and the security of the banks in the event of bank defaults. I mean, I've been hearing some of these banks defaulting and what have you. And so my understanding is that the insurance companies require like a dollar-for-dollar reserve to cover their investments. I don't really have any need for the money at this point. I still work full-time. I make plenty of money to live on. I just wasn't sure what direction to go as far as with an annuity or like a bank CD.
Yeah, it's a great question, Tom. And let me just clarify. So you're not looking at putting this at the risk of the stock and bond market. You do want some sort of guaranteed product, correct?
Correct.
All right. Yeah, you know, I have just as much confidence in a CD by a bank with FDIC insurance than I do an annuity product. In fact, I'd have even more confidence there just because, you know, what you're talking about in terms of the backstop with FDIC insurance is essentially the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, you might say, well, we've got real challenges here and we just passed $33 trillion in debt and, you know, we've got issues with regard to the U.S. dollar. But, you know, at the end of the day, although that's all true, and I think somewhere on the distant horizon is the possibility, if we don't get our act together, of a credit or debt crisis. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. We're still the largest and strongest economy in the world. There's no rival for the U.S. dollar that's legitimate today. 90% of trades happen in the U.S. dollar, 60% of global reserves. Despite our debt and deficits, you know, we're still, again, the largest and strongest economy in the world. So given that, the U.S. government's ability to make good and keep a bank depositor whole in terms of not only the safety of their money, but the access to their funds in the event a bank went under. And we saw those in very isolated cases earlier this year and last year because they were mismanaging their balance sheets, essentially. And the FDIC, the U.S. government, stepped in the way that they were intended to make sure that depositors on Monday morning could get their deposits. And that's protected. Now, the investors in those banks were not protected, but the depositors were. So, I don't have any issue with you putting money into a 5-year CD. I think you're right. You know, the question is, do you go with the annuity? Do you go with the CD? And I'd probably let the rate drive that. I wouldn't have any issue one way or the other. Is this qualified money, Tom? Did it go in pre-tax?
Yeah, it's qualified.
So you'd have to roll it out to an IRA and then invest in the CDs that way?
Yeah, basically, they're both IRAs right now. One's a Roth, one's a traditional, and they're already invested in an annuity.
Okay, yeah, but that's come and due, and so then you just kind of move it out into some brokered CDs or something like that?
Correct.
Yeah. I could go either way. I mean, the time horizon's the same. I think the safety's essentially the same over a 5-year period, and so I think it really comes down to the hassle factor and the rate at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Rob, you heard about the digital currency coming and all this kind of thing, and I wasn't real sure if that's going to be affected and all that as well, so that's why I'm kind of...
it's still a long way off, Tom. It's got to go through Congress, and we've got a divided Congress. There's a lot of congressional leaders that are very concerned, for good reason, about central bank digital currency because of the loss of privacy and the possibility of social controls. That's going to be hotly debated. It's still a good ways down the road if it ever happens. And I think just based on the current makeup of Congress, I don't see it happening, but obviously that could change. So it's not something we need to bury our heads in the sand on, but it's not imminent by any means.
Good, good, good. Well, I certainly appreciate the counsel, Rob. Thank you so much for your time and for answering my question.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for your kind words about the program and for being a regular listener. We appreciate you calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Arkansas. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. I'm calling because my regular provider for my taxes has retired and I'm wondering if it's advisable for me to do my own income taxes. I've done it in the past many years ago, or if I should just stick with the CPA in the local area.
Yeah, very good. Paul, would you use a software package or an online solution, or is that something you're uncomfortable with?
I am, but my wife isn't.
Okay. All right. Well, if you were going to use one of the online or software solutions, then I would be comfortable with it just because, as you said, your situation is fairly simple. If your income comes from mostly Social Security, this is a very simple and straightforward return. The software and web options that are available, you know, are very robust and would be able to handle that without much challenge. If you were uncomfortable with that, or she was, you know, it's not going to cost you a whole lot to have a tax preparer do it for you, and that might give you some added peace of mind. So, you know, I could certainly go either way. I think it's going to come down to, I wouldn't be printing out forms and filling it out with paper and pencil, but if you're comfortable doing it online, you know, in your situation, even though I typically kind of, you know, given both options, I like the professional option just because you make sure you take all the deductions available to you and you know it's right. And then if you ever had a question from the IRS, you've got somebody that can kind of represent you and help you navigate that. But if it's real simple and you're comfortable doing it online, then I would say there's no problem with that in your situation.
Is there some kind of a document that I would buy that would direct me clearly?
Well, again, that's where the software package would come in. And basically, they make it real simple in the sense that, you know, let's say TurboTax, for instance, is one of the ones that, you know, most people are familiar with. They make it very simple in terms of it's just a question and answer process. They walk you through it. As you answer the questions, it's essentially building the tax return in the background. So it's essentially that form you're talking about because of the approach that they take in stepping you through it and providing the information in a really simple and straightforward format. But, you know, the other approach would be you do it that way, you print it out, and this year you take it to a CPA and say, hey, will you just review this for me? And then maybe in the future years you do it all yourself. You know, I think that's, at the end of the day, the decision, just whether you're comfortable using an online solution. If you are, TurboTax would be a great one. Hey, Paul, thanks for your call, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program today. Back with more of your questions just after this. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, coming up in the final segment of the broadcast today, Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry will give us an update on his economic analysis. He'll also share an update on a meeting he had this week with Apple. That's right. On behalf of the American Family Association, Jerry met with Apple to talk about a shareholder proposal that he's put forward on behalf of AFR and AFA, who is a shareholder of Apple, using their capital, their position in Apple, to promote Christian values and recommend a shareholder proposal. Jerry will tell us what that proposal is and how that conversation went with Apple a little later in the broadcast. So look forward to that. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head back to the phones to Oklahoma. Fair, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well, thank you.
So my question was that I've been in the stocks for the past 4 or 5 years and doing a lot of research, and everybody keeps on talking about like a huge bubble that's been forming pretty much since 2008, and everything's overpriced, and that there's going to be a big market collapse. And I was just going to see about y'all's ideas about it and your word and input and stuff like that, and see what y'all thought about it.
Yeah, sure, Fair. Thanks for asking. Basically, when you talk about a stock market crash, you're talking about a rapid, often unanticipated drop in stock prices. It can be the result of an economic crisis. It can be the result of a speculative bubble. We've certainly seen that happen a number of times. It could be a catastrophic event. So there's a variety of contributors to these crashes that are induced by panic selling that depresses prices even further as they're crashing. Some of the most kind of memorable crashes, if you will, would be certainly the 1929 Great Depression, Black Monday of 87. Then, of course, you have the speculative bubble related to the dot-com in 2001. You have the financial crisis of 2008, which was really an economic crisis. There was, real problems systemically in our banking system with regard to lending practices and so forth. And then obviously you have an event-driven crash, if you will, in 2020 with COVID and the fact that the nations of the world were about to shut down their economies. But using that one as a good example, if you would have gotten out because, as soon as that was announced, you anticipated that there was going to be a crash. Well, yeah, we had the fastest, decline to a bear market in history. We also had, just a few months later, the fastest and most rapid ascension back to a bull market than we've ever seen. And so that's why even though that the market works in cycles, boom and bust, and, you've got bear markets and bull markets, you look at the overall trend over the last 100 years, and despite all of those crashes that I mentioned, the market has still been, with a properly diversified portfolio, the very best place to be if you have the right time horizon. I mean, the S&P 500, has generated, 9%+ returns annually over the last 100 years. Now, that includes all of those crashes and bubbles that I mentioned, but as long as you didn't sell out you know, when those were happening and you stayed the course because you had the right time horizon, the right investment mix for your age and risk tolerance, you did well. And so I think that's the idea here, especially in light, and what we're going through right now is a great reminder, Fair, of why we invest, because inflation erodes our purchasing power. So your money, what God has entrusted to you, is losing value every day in terms of purchasing power because things are getting more expensive. And so one of the ways you offset that is by having an investment strategy. Now, every decade, every cycle has its issues. We certainly have ours now. They're different than the ones we've experienced previously. I mentioned one of them a moment ago, and that is I think a debt crisis is plausible now, whereas, you know, it wasn't 20 or 30 years ago because we've mismanaged our federal budget, the deficit, the spending, the printing of money, all of the things that we've been doing, quantitative easing, and all of that has led to the situation we're in that we need to address. We've got time to do it. Again, we're still the largest and strongest economy in the world. But even though you might say, prices are overvalued, and we look at price to earnings ratios as one of the key drivers of that, how expensive are stocks versus the earnings that the companies are generating? Because remember, the stock market is nothing more than just a collection of companies that have real sales and earnings. And so you can absolutely see what is the price of these companies versus how much they're earning, and is it justified? And, right now you might say the S&P 500, that index that I mentioned earlier, is overvalued by maybe, 8% or so. But that, again, is just a part of the cycle and shouldn't lead us, in my view, to exit the stock market and bond market, because where would you go with it? I mean, you put it under the mattress, you're going to lose value. You're going to put it into gold. Well, that's been more volatile and has had less overall returns historically than a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. So in my view, what we do is we say, yeah, we realize these things are cyclical. We don't try to time the market. We're in it for the long haul with the long view. And that's the very best way to build wealth. It has been for the last 100 years. I think it will be for the next 100. We're going to have challenges along the way. We need to show up at the polls and the ballot box and vote for leaders that understand God's design for economics and wealth creation, that human beings were created to be in the image of God, to be productive, and that economic expansion through our productivity is a good thing, and that creates a virtuous cycle that ultimately results in generosity, giving back to the God who created us. But when we take that approach, I think it puts us in the right frame of mind. The key is don't get caught up in kind of the 24-hour news cycle, the financial media, second guessing, or, having anxiety, because at the end of the day, it's about treasuring God above everything, trusting Him as our provider, but then being a wise steward. And I think that includes investments with the right time horizon and perspective. I hope that helps you, Fair. That's at least my take on it. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Watson.
Whoa! No way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same...
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet?
You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Friday is always a good day because we get to hear from Jerry, his thoughts on the market, the economy. What does it mean that the 10-year Treasury yield crossed 5% for the first time since 2007. What is the significance of that? Jerry will weigh in on that. He'll also tell us about a meeting he had this week with Apple on behalf of American Family Association and the position they have in Apple, proposing a shareholder resolution. What is it and what did they say? Well, Jerry will fill us in right around the corner. Let's head back to the phones, though. We've got perhaps room for one more question, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Sean. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. So I was looking for some information on paying off my house early, as opposed to taking it a little bit farther. I have $200,000 in a savings account or in our retirement. And then I have about $70,000 left on the house. And then my wife also has school loans that is a little over $100,000. And I have a paid for truck and my wife's car is about $20,000. So just looking to see, the house is, $20,000. The house and the car is $20,000, to pay off. And I was just, looking for your thoughts on whether to pay off the house or the car first.
Got it. Okay, yeah, a couple of questions for you. Did you say, so you said the house and car are $20,000, not $70,000?
Yes, so the house is $20,000 individually, so $20,000 for the car, and then $20,000 to pay off the house.
Got it. Okay, great. And how far off is retirement?
So I am about to hit 40, and my wife is 40, so... we've got a little ways before retirement.
Yeah, sounds like it. And where would you, if you paid off either the house or the car, where would those funds come from?
Those funds would come from a liquid account from my savings account.
And what do you have in savings currently?
So I have about $70,000 in savings.
Ah, got it. All right. And so that's just in a high-yield savings account or a CD or something?
No, so that is actually just in our bank savings account. I've been holding off on putting it into a CD, thinking that we might pay off one or the other and start stocking money to one of the other debts and just really take over the debt and then start putting it into more savings.
Yeah, very good. I like the way you're thinking. What are the interest rates on the house and the car?
So the house is 499 and the car is 5 flat.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and I imagine the house payment is bigger than the car payment.
It is. Yeah. We also have escrow into that. So yeah. It is.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, I like this plan a lot. How much, what percent of your income are you putting into retirement currently?
Currently, we're putting about 5 to 10%.
Okay.
And taking all of our income tax that we get back, we're putting that into retirement as well.
Okay, how are you doing?
Roth IRA. Like
IRA. Okay, yeah, very good.
And I have a IRA, and then $200,000 in our company is in an ESOP, and okay. I have a little over $200,000 in that.
Okay, great. And then, very good. Do you have anything left over at the end of the month currently after all the bills are paid?
Yes, we're our account currently grows at about $1,000 to $1,500 a month.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah, so, I mean, this is, you're in a great position here. I mean, you've got time on your side. I mean, let's say you're 25 years out from retirement, and I don't mean that just because the world says when we get to 65, we should stop and, you know, walk the beach and pick up shells. Nothing wrong with the beach, but, you know, God's calling doesn't have an expiration date. But we do want to prepare for that season where you may be redirected to God's next assignment, and that may or may not involve paid work. So we want to make sure you can cover your bills. There also may come a day where you can't work. So I love the fact that you're prioritizing, you know, a couple of things. Number one is being debt-free completely at some point and saving appropriately. I think given the amount that you have in savings, you know, really we only need 3 to 6 months expenses, you know, in reserves. You're not earning that and you're paying 5% on both the house and the car. So I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, if you, even if you had 6 months worth of expenses, what would that be roughly?
6 months would, so we're going about $2,000. We live pretty modestly, about $2,000, sometimes $2,500 per month.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So, I mean, if you'd looked at 6 months expenses on $2,500, that's only $15,000. You've got $70,000 here. So, you know, if you pay off the house and the car, that's a guaranteed 5% return. And I realize you could get that now in a high yield savings, but you're not going to get that potentially a couple of years from now. I mean, that's why a 1 year CD offers 5.5. A 5 year CD today is only 4.5. So, you know, rates are going to be headed down at some point. So I'm wondering about you guys paying off both. I mean, if you only paid off one, I'd pay off the house because the interest rates are essentially the same, and that just frees up more money on the on a monthly basis, not including the taxes and insurance that you can redirect toward. I would bump up your retirement to 10 to 15% as opposed to 5 to 10, and then I'd fully fund those Roths, and then I'd start attacking school loans as the next thing. Are you looking for any kind of loan forgiveness on that? Are you a part of any programs that will offer that, or are you going to end up paying the whole thing likely?
Yes. So my wife is in the health field, and she is looking for a loan forgiveness. About $50,000 is what we're looking at okay. In the beginning. You know, she's got about a little over $100,000 in school debt.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so I would accelerate that debt payoff up to what you're expecting in loan forgiveness and really just attack that. But again, with that guaranteed return equal to the interest you're getting rid of by paying it off, and because you're living so modestly, you have so much surplus, and you're not earning that on the $70,000, I'd say let's wipe out the house and the car, redirect all that money, some of it toward, well, all of it could go toward the student loans up to $50,000 because you've already got a surplus you were generating before you paid these off, and you could use that to either accelerate your retirement contributions or your giving or both. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're in a great position. You guys could be, you know, completely debt-free except for the school loans and on your way to doing that. You guys are living modestly. That's great. You're going to be in a great position for retirement to do whatever the Lord leads you to next. And, you know, on top of all of that, you know, you're still going to have quite a bit of margin every month. So I think this is a great spot to be in, Sean. I hope that was helpful, but listen, kudos to you for following God's principles and managing money so wisely, and that's put you in a really solid position here today. Hey, thanks for being on the program. We appreciate you calling. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jerry Boyer will stop by, and we'll also try to get to a few more questions before the end of the broadcast. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it, and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, so good to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer stops by with his market analysis and commentary. Jerry, in just a moment, I've mentioned to our listeners today, you're going to update us on a meeting you had this week with Apple representing American Family Association. But let's start with the economy. You know, we saw this week that the 10-year Treasury yield crossed 5% for the first time since 2007. Jerry, what's the significance of that?
Well, the significance is that that means that people are more apt to take money out of the stock market and put it into some kind of interest-bearing account. I mean, I hear you taking calls from people, and they're asking, what should I do? And, you know, a lot of your counsel is pointing out that now the interest rate return is actually pretty good. Remember, for so many years, it's like, well, just understand, you know, if you're putting something in a cash account of whatever form or a CD, it's almost like a safe deposit box. But now you can actually get a return on that. So that means that people pull money out of the stock market because they can get a riskless. There's nothing riskless in this world except God's promises, but a close to riskless return and a fairly decent one. So that's why there are certain sectors of the economy that are interest rate sensitive, and that sounds like economist talk. But all it means is there's certain kinds of investments that tend to respond when there's a change in interest rates. Like, so for instance, this week, the Fed chairman said, well, I don't think interest rates are too high. And so what happened is investor said, oh, well, he doesn't think interest rates are too high. So he sure doesn't seem like he's going to cut them anytime soon. And he might actually raise them. And so the interest rate sensitive things went down. Stocks are interest rate sensitive. Why? Well, for the reason I just gave. People say, why take the risk in the stock market when I can just go into a CD? Some parts of the stock market are more interest rate sensitive than others. Like, for instance, growth stocks, technology and growth stocks. They're more like a promise way out into the future that we're going to grow. Therefore, they're more speculative. Therefore, they depend more on a lot of easy money in the system. Mm. So when the Fed's pulling money out of the system, then they tend to go down more. And the NASDAQ went down more. Real estate, people can buy real estate directly, or they can buy things called REITs, which are funds which own real estate. That's an interest rate sensitive sector because they borrow a lot of money in order to buy that real estate. So that went down even more. So the things that are most interest rate sensitive, the things that depend on easy money from the Fed, that's another way of saying the same thing, those went down more than the other things. So that's basic. Once again, we're in the world where the central bank is in charge of markets rather than the economy and regular investors being in charge of markets. And the central bank is right. We haven't beat inflation. It's wrong in thinking the way to beat inflation is to slow down growth. Human productivity is in the center of what it is to be in the image of God. The way that fighting human productivity is not the way out of our mess. We're not going to Fed our way out of this mess. Yeah. We're not going to central plan our way. We're not going to expert our way out of this mess. The only way to get out of this mess is to be highly economically productive, which means pro-growth policies and a work ethic that goes along with it.
Well, very well said, Jerry. To that end, though, Atlanta Fed president was out today saying he doesn't envision interest rate cuts happening until perhaps late 2024. If that was the case, Jerry, what would be the implications in your view for the economy?
Basically, it's him seconding what Powell said.
Yeah.
So we're not going to cut until late. Powell's saying interest rates aren't too high. And just understand that cutting through the technical thing, basically the Fed can only really do one of two things. It can print money and put it into markets. Yep. Or it can take money out of markets and burn the money. I mean, it doesn't literally burn it because it's not paper, but it's deleted from their accounts. That's all of this talk about interest rates is really a roundabout way of saying it's either creating money and pumping it into markets or it's pulling money out of markets and contracting the money supply. So this is more of we're probably going to be more contractionary. The Fed, you know, what the Atlanta Fed chair said and what the whole chair Fed said, it basically amounts to the same thing. We're probably going to be more contractionary. Why? Because they think they need to slow down the economy to beat inflation. That's the God out economics of John Maynard Keynes. So that's why we're stuck with this double-minded Fed, with this dual mandate. They go back and forth between their conflicting mandates. And that's where this instability comes from.
Yeah, but the way that hits the average American is the longer this goes on, that means the more people that just can't wait to buy a house anymore, and therefore they're buying that house at, you know, an 8% interest rate, which happened this week. The more people that are experiencing all of the effects of these high interest rates, which is really going to, you know, put the squeeze on the family, right?
Oh, absolutely. If we're indebted and Americans are highly indebted, I suspect that in general, your audience is less indebted than the rest of America, if your word is being taken seriously. But still,
Right. We're
an indebted society. So this is an interesting point. The more indebted the society is, the more our whole nation is an interest rate sensitive sector. Remember I talked about how there's interest rate sensitive sectors, you know, real estate, et cetera, but some sectors aren't so interest rate sensitive.
Yeah.
But if we're highly indebted, if we've got a bunch of credit card debt, if we've got mortgages that are straining at our ability, if we've got school loans or whatever, that makes the entire nation interest rate sensitive, the entire economy. And we are a high debt economy right now, so it's harmful. And typically, this stuff shows up, as you pointed out already, more in housing markets than it does in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't buy the house because you're not really buying the price of the house. You're really buying the mortgage, right? When you say, can I afford this house? You don't look and say, oh, it's a $200,000 house or it's a $500,000 house or it's a $100,000. You look and say, what's the mortgage going to be? Can I afford the mortgage? So when the interest rates go up, that means that the price of the house goes down, goes up, even if the price of the house itself hasn't changed. Yes. And so people don't buy new houses, and then we don't build those new houses because people don't want them. People stay in their houses, and they get locked into those high mortgage rates. So that's, you know, that does tend to slow down the economy, which is by design. That's not a side effect.
Yeah.
This is like chemo. The chemo, it's like we know we're going to hurt you, but we're going to hurt the cancer more, right? That's what chemo is. So Keynesian chemo is, we know we're going to hurt the economy, but we're going to hurt inflation more. That's, you know, I know anything about oncology, so I can't tell you, you know, about about the ethics and efficacy of chemo, but I can tell you hurting the economy is not the way to help the economy.
Yes, that's exactly right. Unfortunately, that's not what's taught in the Ivy League schools. All right, Jerry, let's turn the corner. You had a really interesting meeting this week representing AFA in their position in Apple. Give us a quick definition. When we say shareholder engagement, what are we talking about?
We're saying that a lot of people don't realize this. You know that as a citizen, you get to vote in elections, and you can go to the town hall meeting, and you can write a letter to the editor, and you can call your council member or your congressman. You're more likely to get to your council member than your congressman. You can even put a referendum on the ballot in some places, and you say, I want the people to vote directly on limiting tax hikes or something like that. Well, all of those rights also accrue to people who are shareholders in companies. If you own the shares directly.
Yeah.
And so in this particular case, this is something that you and I and Walker talked about, I guess maybe 2-3 weeks ago. AFA is using that authority, and it's proposing something that goes on the ballot of the largest corporation in the world, Apple.
Yeah.
And it is about viewpoint diversity and Apple tending to, at least appears to be, discriminatory when it comes to what they decide to sell in their app store or what they decide to ban from their app store. And when you propose something like that to a company, they don't want that on the ballot. So they want to convince you to take it off. And so there's almost always a meeting or a series of meetings beforehand. That's why these proposals are so powerful. And by the way, to put a proposal on the ballot, all you need is to have owned $2,000 worth of a stock for the past 3 years.
Wow.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the paperwork, right? But we help with the paperwork. But in terms of eligibility, you know, pretty much anyone with a decent portfolio, they're gonna have $2,000 worth of the big companies. And so there was a productive meeting where, in this case, it was Walter and I, Walter Billingsley, the CFO, talked to them and said, look, I mean, you took down a Bible app, you took down a Quran app because the Chinese government asked you to. You seem to be making decisions that are based subjectively according to your own values about what goes on the App Store. Like, for instance, I quoted to them their own policy. So here's what they say about what's on their App Store. We strongly support all points of view being represented on the App Store. As long as the apps are respectful to users with differing opinions and the quality of the app experience is great, and we will reject apps for any content or behavior that we believe is over the line.
Hmm.
What line, you ask? Well, as a Supreme Court justice once said, I'll know it when I see it.
Hmm.
Well, we pointed out that it really depends who's doing the knowing and the seeing.
Yeah.
When the Manhattan Declaration said, we think that marriage is between a man and a woman, and we think that life should be supported in the womb, that offended people. And they lobbied Apple, and Apple took that down.
Hmm.
Now, that didn't offend me. I didn't look at that and say, oh, that's over the line. It was very respectful. It was very dignified. It wasn't nutter stuff, you know, because
yeah.
I know sometimes my side can talk a little crazy, but they didn't. And that got taken down. So what I pointed out is if you're going to have subjective standards like this, then you need people who are interpreting them. And
yes.
People who have our sensitivities, people who are not offended by the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. If you don't have anyone in the room making that decision, then I see it. You're not really protecting the brand universally. You're just protecting the brand from the backlash of certain interest groups. By the way, they were receptive to that reasoning. And I congratulations to AFA for being willing to do what so few have done, to use their shares to go out there and fight for what you believe in.
Well said, Jerry. We have just 10 seconds left. So where does it go from here? Will it be on the ballot? Do we know?
They're going to ask the SEC to give them permission to knock it off the ballot. The SEC is a little biased, but I still think we have a good chance for it to be on the ballot. But we don't know that yet. We'll find that out over the next week. So that's where the battle goes next.
Got it. All right. Well, I know you'll keep us posted. Jerry, always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Deborah, stay on the line. We're going to try to get you scheduled for Monday. I'm so sorry we didn't get you on. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.